Welcome to Mike and Steve, a podcast in which Mike Carson and Steve Henry interview everyone who graduated in 1994 from Ohio's Cuyahoga Falls High School, one classmate at a time. Today's guest is Jennifer Grafe Kramer. This episode was recorded September 21st, 2022.
All right, here we are, Mike and Steve, with a very, very special guest. Steve?
Say that for everyone.
Are you going to introduce the guest or what's going on?
That's your turn. I did the first part of the intro. Now you can introduce the guest.
You don't know her name. Is that?
I know her maiden name.
Very special
that's
guest.
That's fine. That's all anybody
Jen
knows.
Grafe Kramer.
Kramer, that's right. Yeah.
Right? Is it just Jen Kramer now or is it Jen Grafe Kramer or is it Jennifer Grafe? How do you like to be called? Maybe that's a good question to ask somebody.
I just like to be called. Just call me. Just give me a call.
Call me maybe.
I'll let you know. Yeah. It's what a Jen is probably what 95% of the people call me. But I probably still introduce myself as Jennifer because I was raised to introduce myself as Jennifer. So
very formal.
Well, yeah. Hey, yeah.
Jen, thanks for joining us and we're really happy to have you. We're really, really happy.
This has been like 2 years in the making. So you know
you were like one of the earliest fans because right because yeah, we did Tracy Marzich.
Yes.
And you were like in the back, you called in, I think.
Probably. I mean, I'm still one of her biggest cheerleaders. You know, she might question that this summer because I, you know, have been busy, but I've been a fan. She was like, guess what these guys are doing? And you guys are doing such a cool thing. Like it's such a cool project.
Thank you. How can you
not be a fan? You know,
it is a lot of fun.
Yeah. You caught it. Didn't Jen called in, right? We called in.
Tracy. Yeah. We were probably consuming some wine and Tracy was like, you should call in and leave a voicemail. And I was like, that sounds like a great idea. So I don't know what I said, but I'm sure it was brilliant.
It sounded like you were having a good time. It sounded like everyone was having a great time.
And we appreciated the call in too. That was really nice. We've only had like a couple of those. So
Hey, folks out there, CFHS land, give these guys a ring. You know, like I started, like just call, just like reach out.
Right? Yeah, well, Steve, what's our phone
voice message?
What's our phone number?
It is edit here. Yeah. And then I'll put it in and act like I knew off the top of my head. I don't know what it is off the top of my head. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, I don't know either.
And we have it on an audio clip at the end that people can listen to.
We need to get like
it's at the end.
1-800-MIKE-STEVE. Yeah, it's at the end.
When they'll call, because right now they're listening.
I don't know if anyone ever listens to that very end, because it's like you have to listen all the way through, and then there's theme music, and then it's like the rambling, like and subscribe on YouTube, or wherever we are, iTunes.
Yeah.
And then finally, it's like you can call our voicemail box. It's like, yeah.
It might be on our website, actually, if you go to mikeandsteve.com. Anyway. If you really look, you can find it. If you really do a lot of research, you can find the number. And
we are out there. The phone number is 330-731-1335. 330-731-1335.
But, Steve? Go ahead. Do you want to bring out the yearbook?
I was just going to ask, should I do the yearbook?
I think that's a good thing.
We haven't done this in a while. We're trying to keep this loose. Like,
first, I have to say, it's been 30 years. And Jen, you look exactly the same. I feel like you look exactly like in high school.
Thank you. That's very kind. I think that when you look at the picture, you might start to see more of like the, you know, 30 years taking.
I'm looking right now at this 92 yearbook picture of you running.
Oh yeah, class. That was.
How about this one? Yep. Cheerleading.
That's more like it. Yep. Yep. So,
yes.
You do look the same.
Tell us.
I do kind of have the same haircut as like junior year, and it's kind of funny because I didn't realize it.
Really, junior year you had that haircut? Because in this Senior year, you had longer hair.
For sure. Yeah. I just chopped my hair again. I'm real lazy. I just grow it out and I donate it. And then I just grow it out again and I just donate it. It's kind of been what I've been doing since 1991.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So cool. It's just, you know, I don't know. Is that cool?
How much hair? How much hair do you think you've donated in your lifetime?
8 times 4, 24 inches.
24 inches?
Yeah. I mean, you donate about 8 to 9 inches at a time. I do anyway. I mean, I don't like grow it like down to my ass. Like, you know, it's just
like, seems like in like 40, since 91, 30 years, I would guess you would donate like a barrel of hair probably.
Okay. I guess if that was like exclusively, I've maintained like short hair haircuts to where, you know, I might go like 2 to 6 years in between times where I'm like, you know what I should do? And COVID this last time, like I was not cutting my hair during COVID. So we kind of woke up 2 years later, like, are we done with this yet? Which were, you know, still questionable. And I was like, wow, my hair is really long. Like you start seeing people again, you know, and they're like, look how long your hair is. I'm like, yeah. And so then I just cut it off because, you know, you just kind of get sick of it.
And you don't, so you cut it off and then you donate it?
Well, the place, like the salon that I go to, it's a service, like they'll donate it for you. Actually, one year I did like mail it in. Do you guys remember AJ Hawk from Ohio State football? I know you guys are probably real big in Ohio State football. No, you're not. Okay. So he had long hair and he had an organization like Hawks Locks, not Locks for Love, because that's a different organization, but like it usually the hair is like donated to make wigs for people who might be going through like illnesses where they might need a wig.
No, oh, that's nice. That's really nice. That's awesome. Yeah, that is awesome. I think my sister,
like the last thing I thought we'd be talking about, but here we are.
Yeah, it's interesting. My sister, I think she cut hers off and just sold it on eBay. So I don't know.
Well, I'm gonna have to look at
everyone has to make their own choices. Everyone makes their own choices. So.
Okay.
Okay. Good to know.
Well, yes. Yeah. So yeah, like we had this, it's actually been a while since we've done it. We're getting back into these interview things. And yeah. I think the way we started it before is like,
you looked up my name or yeah, you we look up the person's name.
Yeah. We tried to get a sense of like who you were in high school. We're trying to paint a picture of Jen in high school.
Yeah.
So, and Steve is the artiste here.
One picture we could paint would be that. Do you remember making colorful 3D sculptures in crafts class?
Sure do, with Andy Shepherd.
You remember that?
Oh, heck yeah. I totally remember that. I remember that shirt. Like, I still kind of wish I had it, that picture. It was like right this flannel from the Gap that I loved. Yeah. Yeah, that one right there. Yeah, I still have that peacock. That's ridiculous, but yeah.
Peacock?
Yeah, the peacock that's in front of me is the one that I made.
What are these things? I can't believe
paper,
you remember.
They're paper mache. They're paper mache. I loved art, you guys. Oh. So that was like, I loved being in the art room. Where is it? It's like on page 2. Yeah, there page it is. Two. That thing, that like thing with all the circles on it, that was mine. Andy's holding up his like iguana. Oh shit, that's like Gina. Who is that back there? Melanie,
Gina Cross,
yeah, Melanie and Gina. Show? Yes. Yeah. It was paper mache.
Was that an art?
Probably like, art club? No, it was probably like, what did they call it? The art, like studio, you know, like art studio 1, art studio 2, where you just kind of had, you weren't focusing on ceramics. You weren't focusing on like one particular thing. Like I took jewelry making and ceramics and photography and, you know, all of those cool art classes. And then like Mrs. Wheeler made like studio art for the people that she felt could handle a little less structure in class and more self-directed art class. So it was really cool. I got to do like metal casting. Like I have a little cast that I made out of pewter, you know, and stuff like that. It was fun.
So it was just a regular class, but it was like more open. It was a class though for credit, like not like a
yeah. Club. Oh yeah, it was totally for credit. Yeah. Okay. And by senior year, you know, you've got more options for like what the electives or whatever. So I loved art. It was a lot of fun. I like that creative process, but
that's a whole other world. I didn't take any art classes.
Yeah, but you were in band, and I didn't take any band classes. So.
Right.
I didn't take any art or band.
What would you say you did?
Like, just tried to make it through. That's all.
There's that.
So that's cool. You were really into art. Okay, we're painting this picture. She's an artist.
I was like the cheerleader that would show up with like paint on my uniform, and they'd be like, Jen. And I'd be like, I know, but you know, I'll show you what I made.
Art comes first.
Well, it kind of did.
We had to wear,
in my world, it did.
Interesting.
But like, we had to wear our uniforms to school, you know, like the cheerleading uniform. And it was like, that's just not what you want to be wearing in your art room. But what was I going to do? You know, like I had to follow the like rules. So
you could change into an art outfit,
smock, and then like put a smock on.
Yeah, what's an
I
art
think we
outfit?
Had smocks. I Apron? Probably just was like clumsy still and like, oh, I dropped that paintbrush, or you know, I don't know.
Or what about the hydrochloric acid? Did you mess around with that? Because Andy Shepherd did. He's quoted saying he melted his pencil with it.
Are you serious?
I believe that. I probably watched him do it. I probably didn't.
This is a direct quote from Andy Shepherd. I'm so proud of him for getting this quote in here. Yeah. Remembered he got to use hydrochloric acid to etch into silver. That stuff was cool because I melted my pencil. That's an actual quote on page 2 of the yearbook.
Yeah, I believe it.
That's so cool.
Is that in this? See, I need my glass.
How can you melt?
Never worn glasses, but now I need glasses, and I don't know where mine are.
Does wood does not melt?
I had the same question. Like, what kind of pencil? Maybe it was a mechanical pencil.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a great point.
Thank you. We have to get Andy Shepherd on here next and ask him about
it. Yeah. I like that.
That'd be fun.
Speaking of quotes, I have a quote from Jen.
Oh,
are you ready for this? This is this is from the 92.
Oh, that's,
92. Okay. So this is 2 years before. So here it is. So this is not the quote, but this is the whole little paragraph. Picking the best, starting out running the 100 meter, but later favoring the 880 is what happened with Jennifer Grafe's first year of track. Quote, track season was really a lot of fun, and I ran track so I would have the motivation to get in shape for soccer next year, end quote.
Yeah, that's a bunch of bullshit, but yeah. I mean, am I allowed to say that? Yes. It was really like, I wasn't fast, you know? So then I was like, let me just run the like slowest race, you know? And then it was like, this is miserable. I wish I love running now. So I wish that I would have loved it in high school. Cause I think I would have had more fun, at least be more successful. I don't know, maybe not, who knows?
Well, so here's the picture where I'm seeing, it's like very active in a lot of things, doing physical, like running, doing art, doing cheerleading. Wow, what else is there, Steve? What else?
Let's not forget Tiger Backers.
Oh yeah.
Tiger Backers.
Yeah.
What's that?
What is that, like the homecoming decorations or something?
Homecoming. Amanda Wislowski and I remember being, I think she recruited me into Tiger Backers. Yeah, decorate for homecoming every year. And
how do you remember that? Like, how do you know it's?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't drink in high school, so maybe I could remember better.
Unlike some people on this call, apparently, it might.
I just had to make it through, man.
Well, and you have this book that reminds you for 30 years what you did, you know? So like I brought my book to the one of the class reunions because I was like, I'm not going to remember people. And I'm not going to remember things. So like there's like signatures in here from 2009. From like
no way. You know, from 2009.
Well, our
25, from the reunion, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I took my yearbook. And it's hilarious, you know, because people are writing all these other things that they remember about me that aren't in the yearbook that I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm sure it was great.
So the Tiger Backers was like another kind of art thing?
Or was sure.
It,
It was like, I think that we like sold flowers at Valentine's Day. And I think that we like maybe sold mums for football season. And, you know, like we had to fundraise for homecoming. That's probably what we did.
Okay.
I don't know. So
it was fun. How'd you get into that? What made you do that?
If I'm remembering correctly, Amanda Waslowski was in it, or she was like, let's do this. Maybe Marlo, I don't know. You know, it was just something to do. My mom was always like, fill your resume. Like, you don't want to, you know, like graduate with just nothing on it. You know, like you need to be able to have things to impress colleges and jobs or whatever. So I, you know, was like, yeah, I'll try that. I'm kind of like, I'll try anything, most things once, you know. So like, I'll give it a shot. Yeah, I'll try that. Let's go. See what it's all about, you know.
So what else, Steve? Anything else in there?
Yes. Ski club?
Yeah. Oh, I love skiing.
What?
Yeah.
I was on the ski club.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
There we found it. Everybody has something in common. Like
ski club. All three of us were on ski club.
We were all on ski club. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Can't remember
it. I don't know if it was all the same time, though.
I mean, you remember skiing, though, right?
I remember skiing. Totally.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I was on,
Did you like ski in jeans?
Oh, yeah. Did you?
Yes, with like two pairs of like tights.
Yeah.
Like, it was terrible. Like, I ski now, and I'm it's like, if I had this gear in high school, you know, everything would have been different.
It seems crazy to me that I did that, especially because in Ohio, it's like, I mean, half the time it was like slush.
For sure.
And you're not in the mountains with like nice fluffy snow.
Yeah. Or you're skiing on like what they were trying to make, you know, like ski through the snow blower and
It's not the right clothing for skiing at all.
No, it's not. But you know, there's still people out there like Eric and my husband and I say like, oh, there's a Carhartt skier. Like, there will be somebody on every mountain that's like decked out in Carhartt
skier.
Just like a step up from like jeans, you know,
like a canvas coat or something.
Yeah.
Elmer Fudd.
You know what Carhartt, like work gear. Yeah. Like their Carhartt bibs and like a Carhartt coat, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not waterproof. Okay, whatever. Don't fall.
I guess it's that's just for hunting and stuff, isn't it? Is that, am I thinking of the right? Oh, no, I'm thinking of Cabela's.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got Cabela's and Carhartt.
I think you can do anything like outside in Carhartt, you know, like build a shed, chop some wood, hunt a deer.
Carhartt? I've never heard of Carhartt.
Yeah, Carhartt.
Looking
you guys, I did not think I'd be educating you on so much.
I'm learning a lot already. We've covered a lot of ground here.
And we've only just started. I mean, this is going to be a great episode.
This is enriching.
Carhartt sponsor, but we're going to get a Carhartt sponsorship.
Oh, yeah. We should get a Carhartt sponsorship.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be awesome.
All right. I'm still going, though. So
let's move here.
National Honor Society.
Yeah.
11th, 12th. Congratulations.
Wow. Nice.
You guys were in that.
I don't know about me.
Maybe not.
I was in that.
Yeah, you guys were.
You were probably in that, Mike.
I mean, his name is like right here, isn't it?
Person.
Nope.
Yeah. See.
Mike. Ski club, though. Ski club.
Ski club.
The one thing I could put on my resume, I was in the ski club
and Spanish club.
It clearly held you back. Look at you.
I know.
Yeah.
Should have been Tiger Backers also.
Look at me now with my podcast. We'd be in the podcasting club if we were back.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome. Exactly. I wonder. I think kids, they do have that kind of thing, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think so. I've been asked, like, people have asked, like, oh, am I, like, they are looking for music. I'm a music librarian, so people ask about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What kind of music can I use in a podcast?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then there's one more thing, and I don't know what this is.
Oh,
FCA.
Yeah. Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Oh. Right.
So Brooke Addy is a saint, and she drove me to school most days in high school. And she would make me get up extra early to go to FCA. And so I really was in that because she was in it and she drove me to school and I made her late like probably every time because it started way early.
Oh,
well, I mean, I'm just not a morning person. I was never a morning person. So mm-mm. like it was just trying to get there an hour before school started.
So what'd you do there?
I probably slept, but that's probably, I think it just was like the sense of community, the same way that like church would give you like a sense of community and a community around, you know, making sure that your Christian faith is leading you through sports.
So you'd talk, like you would talk and pray and stuff like that?
Again, guys, this is going to be the fuzzy one. This is going to be the fuzzy, like I was probably sitting in the back.
Too early.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So, wow.
Interesting.
I mean, it was good. Like, you know, like I said, I'll try anything. And Brooke was giving me a ride to school. So I was either going to walk to school or get a ride.
And go to FCA. Was there a teacher or a coach or somebody there?
Yeah, coach. Oh God, his name just left me. Who was the women's basketball coach? Mr. Jones?
Nice.
Mr.
Jones. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Jones, I think, led it. There might have been one of the boys' basketball coaches or like a coach from another like sport might come in, you know, every once in a while. But I think that Mr. Jones led it, like was there every meeting. And he was a cool guy, you know, like he is a cool guy. I don't feel like I'm gonna be quiet now.
So Steve, did you want to say something, Steve?
Did he die? I think he may have died.
Said it. Yeah,
I said it. I think so.
But I'm not sure. But I think so.
If you're Mr. Jones, if you're listening and you're completely alive, just
well
maybe call know, into the voicemail box and tell
you
us.
You know, see if find somebody who played basketball would know. So like Brooke would know. I'm sorry, Brooke. I'm sorry, Shannon. I'm sorry, Becky. I know all of those guys are like.
Maybe I'll just cut that part out. I can just cut that. Never
Nah, come on.
Okay. Somebody who's like a big coach who was really well liked.
Yeah.
I think died a few years ago.
I think it was Mr. Jones. That's why I said that he was. And then I was like, ooh, I'd. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's part of life, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Jones died in 2015. His obituary states that he spent 23 years as the head coach of the girls basketball team at Cuyahoga Falls High School and retired as the winningest basketball coach in school history.
So it's true. Jen was active and a lot of things, smart, you know, on National Honor Society, popular, cheerleader. I mean, just had everything going. Just has everything going. Well, no. So what do you, like, so how did you see yourself in high school?
I remember my cousin probably gave me the best advice, like going into high school. And she was like, just be nice to everyone. Like, just like have friends across all the boards and like, you know, just be nice to everyone. And that still holds true today, you know, like just be nice to everyone. And I think it was, there was probably a lot of like getting through, like you said, like senior year, I was done. Like I had a lot of friends in the class ahead of us that it was hard to say goodbye to and think about like not being in class with or stuff like that. And then, you know, just senior year was senior year. And yeah, I was done. Like I was ready to get out of Dodge. And so I think that it was cool to be able to go back to a reunion and seeing people and being there like with my husband, and they would be like, oh, what was Jen like in high school? And you know, I felt like people were like, everybody liked you, you know. And I don't know that that made me like popular in the sense of like the popular group, you know, but I mean, I just tried to be friends with everyone. Now, like, yeah. Tracy, you know, elevated status there, and she and I had our own set of shenanigans happening outside of school. But like, I didn't go to like parties much, and I didn't like, you know, I wasn't like the best at anything. I wasn't like, I barely got a letter in cheerleading, you know, and I was, you know, I just was trying to have fun, you know, so try to be smart and go to college and, you know, all of that. So do what you had to do. Get decent grades. I'm a rule follower. I'm like a first foreign rule follower. So I was just like, you know, all right.
I do seem to recall you jumped out a window one time though, when we had a substitute teacher. That's, I don't know why this sticks in my brain. Like, I think it was Latin class. We had a sub.
You jumped out Latin? A window?
Yeah, it was like on the ground floor, and there was like spring. It was like in the senior year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And it was like chaos. The substitute.
We were pretty cruel to those substitutes.
I feel bad. I remember it was like total chaos, and you're like just jumped out the window and then came around to the door.
Yeah. It just walked in. Like, she was like, what happened?
How did you get out there?
I would not. Yeah. And I was like, I went to the bathroom.
Like, I don't know why I remember this.
Well, I mean, who does that, right? But yeah, that sounds about right.
I made an impression. I was like, oh, that was funny. That's funny.
I don't think I've thought about that in about 30 years. But
yeah, there you go. Thank you. You're welcome. You. Mostly a rule follower.
Mostly.
So Jen, I was wondering if you could give us a brief timeline of events since high school.
Yeah, what have I been doing for the last 20 years or 30 years?
I guess it is almost 30.
It is, like, isn't it at 22? We're close. We're 28 years. Yeah. I went to Bowling Green. I was at Bowling Green for 5 years and finally scrounged together a special education degree. And I tried a bunch of different things there, like majors, tried a bunch of different majors and not, you know, let's keep straight there.
Majors.
I was still such a good girl. Like, I got a job as a bartender because I didn't want to go out and drink and I needed money, you know, so I just worked. And that way I still got to see all my friends and make money. And I, you know, yeah. So
that's smart.
It was paying for college was tough. I can't say that. You can't say that today because it's even harder now. But, you know, I didn't have anybody else paying for it. So, just trying to make ends meet and student teach and having fun.
So, wait. You paid your own way through college?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I mean, I had loans, you know, but I had to pay for like my apartments and stuff. Yeah. So I worked.
That's awesome. That's
all through college too.
That's impressive. That's really impressive. That's an achievement.
I was ready to get out. So, you know, it was like, all right, I saved up money and I did pay like for my whole first year of school, like, in like, damn. Didn't have a loan for that year. Wow. So I had saved up money from like 10 years before college.
Wow.
I'm such a nerd.
Holy cow. But,
yeah. I was pretty disciplined and like putting away, I had to, my grandfather was, he set the precedence of going to college. I was the oldest grandchild and he took me to open a bank account. And he was like, you have to put money away into your bank account. So you should put 70% of whatever you make into the bank account. So any like babysitting jobs or like when I worked at Friendly's or when I worked at the music store, you know, like my paychecks just, you know, 70% went into the bank. And my grandfather supplemented with that. Like when I would show him like my statements and how much I had saved, he would give me a bonus checks, you know, and stuff. So I paid for my whole first year of college. So, but I mean, 30 years ago, that was what, like $7,000, you know, it wasn't that much money. It's still $7,000, but it's exponentially harder to do that today. You know, like to think about a kid saving like $24,000 or whatever the average like year, that would be just, I don't know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but this feels so boring, but all right.
No. So then what? After you graduated?
I was supposed to go to grad school, but I decided to get a job, a full-time job instead. And I started working at COSI in Columbus, the Science Museum.
Awesome, yeah.
I was like, oh, this will be like a super, I was involved with these programs in college at Bowling Green that took us up like this, a bunch of, when you're an education major, you have to do so many things to like get your hours in for, you know, all the hours that it's unpaid internships all over the place, right? Like student teaching and all the other things. And so I was really heavily involved with one program that worked with youth in the Toledo school systems. And we got to go to COSI up there when COSI had a location up there often. And so I got to know some of the people there just by organizing field trips and things like that. And I was like, you guys have such a great job. Like, this would be so fun. And they were like, have you ever been to COSI in Columbus? And for some reason, I like think that my Girl Scout troop was like the only one that never went because I'd never been to COSI. So the very first time that I'd been to COSI in Columbus was when I like walked in for my interview, and I just was in awe. And this was like in the old building. For those who don't know, like COSI moved locations in 1999 from downtown Columbus to like further outside of downtown, just along the river. Big deal at the time and in Columbus. And that was just supposed to be like a fun job while I just, you know, put money away to kind of gear up for grad school with the intent of maybe not working through grad school and just focusing on grad school. And I ended up just kind of hopping through like different jobs at COSI and stayed there for 11 years. And then in that time, it just was the best. Like COSI, I will just always hold my time there so dear, because it just was such a crazy, it's just a crazy job and it's a crazy environment and there's amazing people and you're learning so much and you have, you know, you're in the nonprofit world. So you're just like giving your heart and soul and you're making like $8 an hour, you know, and like whatever, but it just was amazing. But it, you know, it became, the higher, you know, you kind of go up, the harder it was for me to kind of stay in that environment. It was too professional. Like, I can't handle that, like professional stuff. So shenanigans happened and I jumped ship and resigned and wasn't quite sure what I was going to do next. And then there was, and in that time I got married and we were I was at COSI from 1999 to 2010. And I met Eric and we got married. So we met in 2001 and we got married in 2005. So, you know, it was nice to be able to, for him to say like, do what you need to do. Like, so when I resigned from COSI, I was able to just kind of let the water become clear and get clear headed and figure out what my next step was going to be. And there was a gal in town who had opened, a play cafe, and I didn't know what a play cafe was. And my most significant role at COSI was managing the early childhood programs at COSI and teaching little kids and working with little kids, you know, that like birth to age 5-6 years old time frame. And my background in special education helped a lot with understanding early childhood development. So this play cafe was very intriguing to me. And I was like knocking on the door when it was like coming soon. And she was like, you know, got to talk with the gal who initially opened it. And she was like, come back when you're not at COSI anymore. And so I did. And that year was a cool year. I got involved kind of helping out. I kind of created my own little business, putting on programs there and got to know her business a little bit more. And she was looking for a change in her life and ultimately offered the business to me after just a year. So they opened in July of 2010 and December of 2011, I took over ownership. And so I had a business and a play cafe is an indoor playground for young kids. And we served coffee and tea and snacks. And there was just a little nominal fee to like come in and parents could sit at tables and work or zone out or chat or, you know, whatever, and have coffee and tea, bring snacks for the kids, or, you know, buy my snacks. And we did birthday parties on the weekends, and it was a great business. And I did that from 2010 until March of 2020. So when, you know, a social business suddenly wasn't very cool in the time of social distancing. You know, we came into 2020 kind of asking for change, and, you know, be careful what you wish for. So it related to the pandemic, we closed the doors. In all honesty, I was ready for change, and had kind of, you know, put that in my head of like, what would it look like if we closed? So it wasn't as jarring to me, but that was certainly nothing that the public ever expected. So it was very jarring. And I still, like, it was challenging, because I still feel like I never got to say goodbye, you know, because we were kind of, we shut down and we just never reopened. So, you know, birthday party cancellations and refunds and this and that, and not knowing much about what any of the loans were going to look like. And, you know, I'm still a debt adverse type of person. So, and I did not have my MBA. So I was learning how to run a business and trying to stay out of debt, and debt was just not something I wanted to take on, especially in that time of not knowing how long it was going to last. You know, a lot of people were convinced that that was going to be a short-term blip. And I kind of had more of a long-term, like, I don't know if you understand viruses, like, I just don't see this going away very quickly, you know? So we just decided to close and didn't pursue any of the small business loans that were being offered and things like that. And the other business next door to me was looking for an opportunity to grow. And they are a fitness studio. And so space became very important to them, and, you know, 6 feet apart and all of that. So they moved into our space, and she has grown her business. So, you know, it's cool that that decision allowed somebody else to flourish, you know, as much as it was challenging. And then in that time, while running Firefly, my husband and I became parents. So our kiddo was born in 2017. So I think somebody has a young kiddo in this group too.
I do.
Mike, how old is your kiddo?
I have two young kids, 4 and 6.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought they bookended Siler. He's 5. You know, and we're parents through adoption. So that's a whole other journey that was happening at the same time of my business venture. And, you know, part of what kind of led to leaving COSI was just trying to have a family, because that was something that we tried to do for 11 years. So, and now we have Siler. So, you know, if you kind of believe like the universe is going to bring you what you need when you need it, I think that he came at a good time. I think that it was, being able to stay home with him full time has been a real blessing. I'm really fortunate and grateful. It's been challenging, as any parent knows. I think that it was challenging for me to kind of suddenly be given what I had always wanted, which was to parent full time. But then it be given to you when, like, you can't go to the art museum and you can't go to the science museum and you can't, you know, like, you can't do all the stuff that you want to do. So you know, that was, and, you know, you're always comparing, like, my friends that had preteens, I was like, I don't know how you're doing it. And they were like, I don't know how you're doing it, 2 and 3 year old, you know, like, so everybody's going to think somebody else has it harder. You know, I truly think that, that I had it easy, like, relatively speaking to what other experiences were.
One with my kids is like, my youngest, who's 4, like, she did. She's like oblivious to the mask. It's like, you know, you put it on, it's like comes off. Like it doesn't. So, it's like I feel like. Like she was our weakest link, man. Yeah. It's like we're getting COVID through her.
She's the vector.
Yeah. Or well, it got to the point, you know, with Siler where he was like, I was like, no, like you can take it off now. You know, like yeah, he was wearing it all the time. You know, nobody knew what he looked like, you know. So
I know it's weird. They grow up wearing it. I know it is strange.
Yeah. Still, and like we still have like a couple things that we go to that masks are required just because they're in health facilities, and so he's like he's a good sport about it, and he'll just leave it on, and like he goes to the grocery store, he's like, oh yeah, I still have it on, oh well, you know, so he's pretty chill with it.
Yeah,
I had to wear it in preschool last year, and you know, they did a good job.
So speaking of this stuff, so like, yeah, what have been some defining moments in your life since high school, or some struggles that you've overcome?
Well, taking 11 years to become a parent was trying, to say the least.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we were, and I'm very open talking about this. So, you know, some people may already know, went through, procedures called IUI, and then 3 IVF procedures, which are the in vitro fertilization, where, you know, they take swimmers and eggs and put them together and, and wait for, fertilization to happen. And then they're re-implanted, right? So that's like the Cliff Notes version of that procedure, in case you aren't aware. So we tried that 3 times, and then turned to adoption. And that was a process that started in, he was born in 2017. It started in 2014, I think all said and done, from the time that we started our orientation with our adoption agency and through Siler's finalization, which happens when they are 6 months after placement, because it depends on how old your child is when they're placed. And he was placed with us as a newborn. So when he, you know, just after 6 months old, that whole process from orientation to finalization was 40 months.
Wow.
You know, it was the typical pregnancy is 40 weeks. And we were 40 months.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Our adoption process.
So,
And so, in that time, we were matched with 2 other families, or 2 other birth mothers. The birth mothers chose to parent. And so, and those were situations where we got to meet them while they were still carrying the baby, while they were still pregnant. And I haven't talked about this in a minute. The first situation was a very young teenager, and the biological father's family chose to parent. So that was what they call a fall through in the industry. And that was tough because we had gotten to go to doctor's appointments and hear heartbeats, develop a little bit of a relationship. As much as how old was I at the time? I don't know, like 38-year-old can try to, you know, identify with this young teenager.
When did you find out for that? Like, when did you find out that the biological father's family was going to?
We had probably had met, and we had met 2 or 3 times, twice, I think, with her over the course of about 2 months. And then our social worker called us and told us prior to her baby being born. And then the second time we were matched, it was a gal in her young 20s. She may have just been 20, living with her parents yet. And she was pregnant with twins. So that was for about again, about 2 months, we were trying to wrap our heads around being parents of twins, potentially. And then we don't know officially what happened, but we believe that she ran away from home and went to go live with the baby's dad and hope they're doing well. But the agency never heard back. They never heard anything about her. She just kind of
vanished.
Yeah. You know, so, what is that? Ghosted? Ghosted us.
So how did you find out about that? Like, did the agency just be like, we can't get a hold of her anymore?
Yeah. We were both asking each other, like I was trying to reach out to her and they were reaching out to her and she just ghosted, just never responded. And after a certain length of time, the agency says, you know, when you're matched, you're kind of taken off the waiting list. So she was like, with our experience, it may be best for you to not think of this as a match anymore. You know, like they're choosing a parent. So put yourself back on the waiting list. And so
how long was the second after, like how long were you on the waiting list between the first and the second?
I think that by the time we got everything done in I'm going to use all these terms. So let me know if you need me to clarify, like our profile went live. And I think that within 6 months, the first time we were matched. So then there would have been 2 months in there. And then I think it was probably 6 to 8 months for the second match. And then there was about 2 months in there. And then it was almost 2 years because our profile and our home study was, your home study for adoption processes is good for 2 years. And so we were getting, ours actually technically expired the day Siler was born, but we had renewed it. And so it was okay. But when the thing with Siler's match was we got the call Thursday morning or Friday morning. He had been born Thursday evening and, they called us Friday morning and they were like, your baby's here. You've been matched. And if you want to move forward with this, then come on up to Akron and meet him. So he was born in Akron too. How awesome is that? Like he and I are both born in Akron. So
cool. So they were like, come to the Akron hospital and like that, like
walked into Akron General. Wow. I forget which one. I know where it is, but
yeah.
Yeah, the social worker met us and she sent us a picture. So we got the phone call at 10 o'clock in the morning and he was in our arms by 3 o'clock that afternoon.
And did you bring him home that day?
We had a 72-hour required stay in the hospital for birth mother's final decision to not parent. And once she passed her time frame to finalize her decision and signed the paperwork releasing her parental rights, then we were allowed to leave the hospital. So we spent Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night in the hospital. The hospital was really amazing to accommodate us that way and give us a room and, you know, take him to the nursery if he needed to go to the nursery, which I didn't let him out of my sight, except for when we had to go buy a car seat so that we could take him home.
So that must have been a really nerve-wracking 72 hours for you guys, was it? Yeah, can't imagine. Jeez.
Yeah, and you know, you're kind of cautiously optimistic, and so we were alone with him for 24 hours before we told anybody. Wow. And then, you know, as you feel a little more comfortable, like things are going to proceed, then you know, we could FaceTime my sister and she was coming up to Akron for another reason, which was just amazing. And so she got to see us in the hospital and my dad living up there still in Cog Falls, he was able to come and visit us in the hospital. So, cause we didn't really have that traditional come visit in the hospital aspect because we were just trying to be cautiously optimistic that she would release her parental rights, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So it was I think that I didn't look at it as nerve-wracking as most may, because of some other details about his birth mother and adoption process. And then yeah. Our social worker was really amazing. You know, she was really amazing and guided us through and held our hands and helped us have the confidence that we needed to be able to enjoy those moments with certainty. Wow.
That's awesome. So,
yeah, you know, and now he's five. everybody has their own journey with IVF or trying to have a family. And anytime that it's, I mean, even if you are, you know, have successful pregnancies, everybody has their journey. So yeah. They're all going to be unique, amazing stories, and you'll find commonality between, you know, what your journey held and what others have held, but ours is ours alone. And it was tumultuous, you know, I mean, there was definitely therapy sessions in there to help mm-hmm. help with that. Let down, the fall throughs were probably the hardest thing that I've ever gone through, really. Mm-hmm. You know, hearing heartbeats is pretty, that's pretty intense. you know, but I mean, that's not to say that IVF was a breeze. You know, I mean, anybody who's done anything like that knows what the shots are like and the hormones are like and the, there's a loneliness to it. Even though many others are going through it, I combated that by being very honest about it and talking about it. And it was nice because people, you know, I mean, this was an 11-year journey for us, and Sadler is now 5 years. So this is something that I have been able to talk about for 15 years. Like, that's mind blowing to me. But if you think about how progressive we are today in women's health and being able to talk about it and learn about it, and even just women opening up to other women about pregnancy and just trying to, you know, that whole struggle. People were 15 years ago, you know, amazed that I was so honest about it. And like, okay, first of all, like, I'm still kind of a science geek. Like, the science is fascinating, right? I mean, like, it's fascinating. Yeah. I could talk about that all day long. But you know, then it is a process that you're going through, but you also want to like help educate other people. And I was in service industry for 20 years, you know, dealing with the public and working with kids that are a young age. So the number of times that I had people say like, so do you have kids? You know, you work with these kids, you must have kids. And for 11 years, it was like, no, not yet. You know, and, you know, people would be like, what? I can't believe you don't have kids. You're so amazing with kids. And you're like, I know, isn't that crazy? You know, and then, you know,
surprise.
And then, like, yeah, or you're having a bad day and you're like, well, you know, 3 IVFs are really expensive, dude. You know, like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
So it just kind of depends on how sassy I was feeling and, you know, how, and like mostly to like strangers, you know, I mean, it where you're like, I don't know why, like, it feels very intrusive, you know, when you're saying those things. And, but it, I just looked at it as a, like, chance to educate somebody, right? You know, so yeah. let me tell you why I don't have kids. You know, they didn't expect that answer, but don't go asking stupid questions.
I got it.
No. You know,
well, I'm glad it.
I'm all glad, right, it, I feel like I'm babbling.
I'm glad I had a happy ending.
It's you know, and like I said, if you kind of believe like the universe is gonna bring you what you need when you need it, you know, I don't know, everybody laughs when it's like everything happens for a reason.
I totally believe that, but stuff, man. I'm into that.
So, I mean, maybe that's like how I held on to hope for 11 years, you know, I don't know. It's people were always like, how is it to, because I mean, people all around me were having kids, you know, so like the number of baby showers that you have to go to when you're like, oh my God, I just like, I have to give myself a shot, you know, and like, you know, like you're like, because IVF is so intensive that way. you know, yeah. and then like the hormones and emotions on top of it. And it, there were other people going through that same thing that found that to be so difficult, it would paralyze them and they couldn't do it. And they would confide in me, like, I don't know how you do it, Jen. Like, how can you still have joy when it's such a struggle? Mm. And I always was like, I mean, these are people I love, you know, like my dearest friends, and I want them to have joy, you know? So I want to cheer them on. Like, why waste the energy being mad? You know, like, this is my journey. It's fine. I'll be fine. But like, let's celebrate joy. I'd much rather like turn to the joy of other people having what they want instead of wallowing in my misery, you know?
Yeah.
Nice. I don't know. Well, just trying to get through it.
Speaking of joy, we have this game we play. It's called Make the Sound with Your Mouth Only. Steve and I have been playing this for 30 years.
Okay.
And it's Steve's turn to come up with the sound this time.
Okay.
So he's going to do some sound, and then we have to try to make the sound without using our mouth only.
Okay. I thought I was going to have to provide a sound, but that's good. Okay.
We might have to start doing that because
we're running low. It's hard to come up with a new sound every time.
About 4 hours today.
Assign homework.
Yeah, we need to start assigning that to guests.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm out of ideas. I'm like walking around the house in closets, like pulling things. Like, what makes a sound that I haven't done?
I was all like, Eric, go get your deer, like. He's got something that's supposed to sound like a male.
Oh, you got it. Do you have something there? You read it? You have?
Like a deer call? Well,
yeah. And I was like, oh, we should do that for the sound. But yeah. No, I can't do it now because I just told you what it was.
That's a good idea though. Maybe.
I thought I was going to have to do it, but that's okay.
You do have to. Mike was incorrect. You have to. I forgot. We got that wrong.
I was mistaken.
Right.
Okay, well, in all of my amazing planning, I mean, I was like wiping a butt right before we hopped on Zoom. Yeah. So I was like, Eric, go get it. I don't know that he got it. I don't know that I can do it. I'm in his office.
That was real. The butt wiping was.
That's why I joined the Zoom late.
Oh my God. I'm sorry to interrupt that.
Well, it's fine. It was my child that interrupted.
Oh.
Boom. It's like, you can't go yet, Mom.
Okay.
So Steve will play the sound.
We have to guess the sound?
No. Steve's gonna make the sound, and then I'll go first. I'll try to mimic the sound using my mouth only.
Yeah.
And then you'll go next.
Okay.
And then after that, Steve will go. We'll see whoever mimics it the best wins. And I think
I'm definitely gonna win this.
Probably.
You're an artist.
I don't stand a chance with these honor society people. I mean, no.
Maybe your Spanish club will come in handy.
Oh yeah.
The sound is someone speaking Spanish. I didn't think of that.
So between turns, Steve will repeat the sound. So you don't have to like go from my sound to your sound right away. He'll repeat it for you. Repeat it.
So I'm not going to recreate your creation.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay. Here we go.
Okay, Steve. Let's do it.
Ready?
Yes.
I hope this works.
I do too.
Ready?
Yes.
Was it like a blip?
I did not hear anything, Steve.
Yeah, it sounded like it went mute.
I'll try. I can make that sound easily. Nothing.
It sounded like it went mute. Try it again.
I don't understand why this has happened before. Here, let me change
the microphone or something.
Like maybe it's too much sound for it or something.
Yeah.
Let's try it like this. Now, damn it. Okay. Sorry. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing. We're gonna just have to come up with a quick sound. We're gonna have to come up with some ad hoc sound.
Oh wait. Okay. Did you hear, you could hear that?
I heard something.
Yeah, that was me. Because I know that.
I got this thing.
Oh, okay.
Is that Why do you have a canister of gasoline? What's going on?
That's like a water jug.
Are you hoarding gas?
This is a water jug. This is an easy to carry army water jug.
So you like 5 gallons? What, 3 gallons?
Yeah, 20 liter water. Okay. So you can store water and you'll be good, man. Like if your water turns off, you need water, you just got it, put it in the car.
Live in Jackson, Mississippi, you could have water.
Oh. Should we do
if
this
you live stuff? In Flint, Michigan?
Yeah, exactly. Can you guys hear that sound?
For sure.
Yeah, so why can we hear that sound, but you can't hear this sound? I don't
know. Are you trying to play something? Or are you, because it sounds like you're almost like muting yourself.
Too far away.
I'm trying to play a YouTube thing through a boombox. Why wouldn't that work? I don't understand.
Boombox, first of all. Let's see this boombox.
It's a boombox.
Like an old school boombox? Like you've had this since high school. Oh, that's adorable.
Oh. It's not that old school.
That is so cute.
It's got like a CD player.
Look at this. You remember? Look.
That's why it's not working, Steve.
It made sound. I can hear it live. This is somehow not being picked up by the microphone.
I don't believe it.
Okay, make that sound. Steve has to make the boom.
Okay, here. Ready, Steve? Are you ready?
I go first?
Yeah, I'm going to make it. Ready?
Okay.
Ready? Not bad.
Try again. Can I hear it again? Can I get another shot? Or that's it?
He's done it like 10 times, but yeah, one more. I'm a jackass.
That was worse. That was even worse than the first one. I thought the first one wasn't bad. I don't even know why you needed to try again.
I psyched myself out. I always psych myself out on this game.
Yeah. Well, first one is good, but second one. Okay, Jen, you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it again. Okay, here we go. Ooh, that was very good.
That was better.
I thought that was pretty dang good.
I couldn't tell which one was which.
Uh-oh, now we're going to get sued.
We'll get cease and desist first.
Yeah,
you're going to get the cease and desist. So I do have to say, like, today is September 21st, 2022. Because when you go back and listen to these, and people make these references, you know, it's like, I could listen to a podcast that you did like 5 years ago. And I'm like, what are they talking about? And then you're like, oh, that's from 5 years ago.
You know, that's a good idea. That's a great idea. So, we should definitely put the date on.
Yeah.
We should say the date.
Yeah.
You recorded the, this is 8:30 in the evening.
That's especially good because
it's not Saturday. Is
it takes forever.
Yeah, it's especially good for us because we released them 2 years after. Well, anyway, I get a shot. I mean, Jen's winning, but here's my shot. Ready? Okay. Ready for this? Are you guys ready for this?
Who?
All right.
Are you trying to do another sound?
Do it again. Steve got to do it twice.
Yeah,
I get to do it again. I get to do it again.
Yeah, sure. It's your podcast.
Wait, hold on.
Mike always goes for the impressionistic. It doesn't sound anything at all, but you capture the essence somehow.
Yeah, I'm trying to capture the spirit of the sound, not the actual sound. Oh. I'm playing.
Make sure
this game
you
wrong.
Follow this podcast for more sounds from Mike and Steve.
Hello. Okay. Well, anyway, Jen, it was really great to talk to you. Thanks so much for doing this, and it was a great episode. I think a lot of people are going to appreciate this, and thanks so much. And it's great to talk to you.
Well, thanks, guys. I feel honored to have been chosen at this point in the game. You know, who's next? Who else are you reaching out to? Andy Shepherd. We put that one out there, so you guys.
Yeah, he's got to tell us about melting his pencil and hydrochloric acid.
Yeah.
It would be fun to have him. I think he and I share a birthday, if I remember.
Oh, what is it? When's your birthday?
February 19th. I'm pretty sure. That's my birthday anyway. I don't know.
Pretty sure.
Well, you can find out. You know, I saw, I think the last person from high school that I saw was Chris Cooper. He's up in Put-in Bay. He owns like the hardware store up there. And that was fun running into Chris after however many years.
Did you accidentally run into Chris?
No, I reached out to him. I was like, hey, I'm going to bring my family to Put-in Bay and rent a golf cart and ride around the island. And we climbed the monument and went down in the caves and we went to Chris Cooper's hardware store. It was fun. Got French fries.
I have never been to Put-in Bay.
Oh, it's a fun little day trip. Yeah, I mean, Siler was 4 at the time. So it, you know, definitely leave before 5 o'clock on a Friday. Where it's a different experience, but it was fun. You get a little golf cart. Our golf cart was awesome too. They named them all after celebrities, and ours was Dave Chappelle. So we felt extra cool riding around in Dave Chappelle's golf cart.
Nice.
I'm sure Dave Chappelle has never set foot in that thing, but in our head it was his. So it was
he does have the farm in Ohio, right?
He sure does. I've seen it. Yeah.
You've seen the farm?
I mean, yeah. Well, my sister-in-law lives out in Yellow Springs and she's met him several times and stuff. So I was like, drive me past the house, you know?
Yeah, I would do the same.
Right. Who would, I mean, we'd all know where LeBron James's house is, right? In Akron. Well, you guys aren't in Akron anymore. You're not in Ohio, but I'll drive you by sometime.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
We should do like a tour of Ohio and like see famous landmarks with various classmates.
You know, the other thing that we need to do is we need to put a list. I'm going to ask that anybody who's still in Cuyahoga Falls to put your like top 3 places to go to eat, like a restaurant, you know, like when you post this on Facebook or where, well, I'm not on Facebook as much, but you know, I'll find it, but
I'll put it on Facebook.
I always feel like so silly when my husband and I go back to Cuyahoga Falls and he's like, oh, should we go get dinner? Like, where should we go? And I'm like, Rocco's Pizza, you know, like
Swenson's.
Well, we have Swenson's in Columbus now too. So, but yeah, so it, I'm like, I don't know where to go. Like, where's the cool place to go get dinner? Like, what's a, someplace that, you know, it's not like Rockne's or someplace that's been there forever.
I went to Chrissy Hines restaurant one time, but it's closed now.
I know, same. I did get to go there. That was pretty sweet. The vegan. Yeah. It was awesome.
That was so cool. I'm very disappointed that closed.
I know, it was frustrating, but
yeah.
Hey, thanks, guys. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I keep rambling. I know. could just go on all night.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was great to have you. We'll at least press stop recording and then we can keep talking. But it was good. It was good talking to you, and thanks so much for being on the show, Jen. It was really great to catch up.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Totally.
Yeah.
See ya. Mike and Steve is a production of Mike and Steve LLC and was produced by Mike Carson and Steve Henry with generous assistance from Tracy Marzich. You can find Mike and Steve at mikeandsteve.com and also on iTunes and Stitcher. Don't forget to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can also leave comments, questions, or messages to include in future episodes at our voicemail box at 330-731-1335. Once again, that number is 330-731-1335. Thanks for listening and have a great week.